WFYI podcast brought to you by Bloomington, Indiana, an American college town offering food and drink, college sports, outdoor activities, live music, cool art, and good times daily. Everyone is welcome in Bloomington. More information at visitbloomington.com.
We're going to take a trip right now. Like we always do about this time.
This is a journey into sound. Break it
down. I'm Kyle Long, and you're listening to Cultural Manifesto. The Indie Jazz Fest is happening this week at the McAllister Amphitheater in Garfield Park. This year's festival features performances by Robert Glasper, Layla Hathaway, Tank and the Bangas, Terry Lynn Carrington, Ghost Note, the Rebirth Brass Band, and many others. And on this week's show, I'll be speaking with two of the festival's headliners, Layla Hathaway and Tariana Tank Ball of Tank and the Bangas. First, we'll listen to my recent conversation with vocalist Layla Hathaway. Layla is the daughter of the soul music legend Donnie Hathaway. Layla issued her self-titled debut album in 1990. And over the last 30 years, Layla has established herself as one of the most unique voices in American music. In addition to releasing 7 solo albums, Layla has been featured in dozens of collaborative projects with artists including Miles Davis, George Benson, Snoop Dogg, Mary J. Blige, Kendrick Lamar, in Frank Ocean. Let's start this week's show with Layla's recent collaboration with Indie Jazz Fest headliner Robert Glasper. From the album Black Radio 3, this is Robert Glasper and Layla Hathaway with Everybody Wants to Rule the World.
There's a room where the light
That was Robert Glasper and Layla Hathaway with Everybody Wants to Rule the World. Both Robert Glasper and Layla Hathaway will be performing at Indie Jazz Fest this weekend. And Layla Hathaway is my guest this week. Before we join my conversation with Layla, I want to share an excerpt of a performance Layla recorded with the band Snarky Puppy in 2013. This performance has generated a lot of interest. It's been viewed over 11 million times on YouTube. The video features Layla utilizing polyphonic overtones, creating multiple tones simultaneously with her voice. I asked Layla about the interest that performance has sparked. Let's join my conversation with Layla Hathaway. Thank you so much for joining us, Layla. I'm a huge fan of your work, and it's a privilege and honor to speak with you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and I wanted to start by asking about your voice. I'm sure you're aware of this, but there are a growing number of videos on YouTube of people reacting to your voice. You know, they have titles like Vocal Teacher Reacts to Layla Hathaway, Vocal Coach Analyzes Layla Hathaway. What do you make of these? Have you watched these? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I have watched some of them. Some of them are awesome. Some of them are really ridiculous. I don't know. It's quite a thing. I get it because I'm kind of geeky and like the thought of analysis of things that I'm into. So it's really interesting to be the subject of analysis. Mm.
And a lot of what people are reacting to is your ability to harmonize with yourself or to sing polyphonically. Can you tell us about that technique? Is that something you learned at Berkeley or something you kind of worked at just on your own experimentation?
It is literally something that I realized my instrument could do probably when I was 12 or 13 years old. Mm. It never seemed like a big deal to me. It's on other records. It's on a John P. Key record. And it was never anything that I knew how I could use practically. And so what's really phenomenal is that on that Snarky Puppy live recording, I'm actually working it out. And the first couple times that it comes out is not where I want it. And then the third and fourth time it comes out, where I'm able to manipulate the tones and sing over changes with it, that's the first time I had ever really done that. And so it's funny watching people explain what it is and what I'm doing, because I don't even know. And it's kind of been fascinating to watch people. They'll tag me in videos where they're trying to figure it out and trying to do it. And so I feel like I have maybe sparked something, you know, that is going to be really great one day, you know.
And Layla, I wanted to ask more generally about your work as an artist. I've heard you refer to the act of creating as a form of resistance. And I'm very curious about that statement. A lot of my work in music journalism focuses on how artists have used themes of social justice and protest in their work. What does that mean to you, that quote, creating as a form of resistance?
You know, part of what I do is outwardly a form of resistance. You know, part of the songs I'm talking about what's happening in the world. Part of my mission as an artist is to reflect what I see happening and in my time. The other part of it is that as a Black woman musician, that just the act of showing up for me means resistance. Now that may feel like kind of an esoteric term, because I'm not standing on a front line of someplace with a sign, and I'm not marching, and I'm not, you know what I mean? But what I'm doing is showing up. And that in and of itself is an act of resistance. particularly in the last, you know, I'm going to call it 6 years, maybe 10 years, definitely the last 6 years, I have found myself really vocal and really communicating through music what I see happening around me to this country and to the people in this country and to marginalized people and people of color. And that comes through in the music, you know, whether it's messaged literally or not.
I'm Kyle Long, and you're listening to Cultural Manifesto. My guest this week is Layla Hathaway. She'll be performing at the Indie Jazz Fest on Saturday, October 1st. In 2019, Layla was featured on a collaborative track with one of jazz music's greatest icons, Miles Davis. Layla appeared on the posthumous Miles Davis album, Rubber Band. And we'll listen to a track off that album now. This is Layla Hathaway and Miles Davis was So Emotional. That was Layla Hathaway in Miles Davis. It was so emotional. Layla will be performing at Indie Jazz Fest on Saturday, October 1st. Let's return to my conversation with Layla Hathaway. And Layla, you'll be playing here in Indianapolis at the Indie Jazz Fest. And I wanted to ask about your relationship with jazz music, which is huge, very extensive. To me, you as an artist seem like beyond genre or above genre in many ways. But I'm curious if you conceptualize what you do as jazz music.
I don't always. Sometimes I recognize, you know, for me, everything is kind of sometimes in the same space, because what I'm trying to do is make something that is beautiful and in a way unduplicatable, if that makes sense. So in that way, I sometimes see what I'm doing as, okay, this is from that space. But what I'm always doing is trying to show up and create the most beautiful sound and create the most evocative sound and tell the story. That's the most important thing for me. I could sing the same song any number of ways. And a lot of it has to do probably with the backbeat. So if I play a record and Tony Williams is playing drums, or Chris Dave is playing drums, or Timbaland has programmed the drum beat, it can be the same song. And I feel like I can deliver it authentically in all three of those spaces because I understand the story of the song. I'm not so much concerned with how it's categorized. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So I kind of meet people where they are. There are a lot of jazz musicians that say, oh, you're a jazz singer. A lot of gospel people that say, oh, you sing gospel. You're a gospel singer. It's clear. You know, you're a blues singer. You're an R&B singer. You are like a traditional pop songstress singer. And so I don't really care, as long as people get to hear the music and they meet me where they are.
One aspect of your work that seems very jazz-like to me is your ability and enthusiasm for collaboration. You know, there are a lot of great jazz musicians who never cut a record as a leader. They were just career sidemen in other people's bands. For me, collaboration makes up a huge part of your discography and your life's work in music. I mean, the list of artists you've collaborated with is unreal, from Anderson .Paak to Al Jarreau. I mean, we could go on and on. Can you tell me about the role of collaboration in your work? And, you know, you could easily take the spotlight every day, but you have a willingness to become a collaborator and to kind of fit in to a greater whole in a project.
I really love collaborate. Where would we be without the collaboration? I mean, when I list the records that really have fed me over the course of my life, that I could go back and say, oh, this one had Philly Joe Jones. And I mean, there's so many records that are jazz that already have that kind of ethic anyway. But then even, you know, into pop music, the artists that got together or ones that wrote for other ones, I feel so lucky that I have been able to collaborate with so many of the people that mentored me before I even met them, you know? Mm. So I just, like I played the Hollywood Bowl last week with Boney James and George Benson, and I have records with both of them. So a lot of times I'm out with musicians, maybe at a festival or on a cruise, and I have records with all of those people. And so for me, it's just about really trying to expand my musical territory as much as possible. It's an honor, and it's also fun, and it also makes me feel so much more well-rounded as a musician to have records with Snoop and George Benson and Mary J. Blige and Kendrick Lamar. And, you know, the list goes on and on, but it's these people from all of these different spaces with one kind of music ethic. And that's the part that's important.
Yeah, I mean, you've been on some of the most important records of the 21st century, like Kendrick Lamar's To Pimp a Butterfly, Frank Ocean's Channel Orange. These are records that changed music globally. Yeah, any thoughts on those projects and kind of your role in that work?
I'm honored. And when you put it like that, it's just so crazy. But I'm just so glad that people call me and to be able to work with Kendrick and Frank Ocean and Esperanza Spalding and Terry Lynn Carrington, and you know, to be able to contribute as a singer, as a musician to these projects has really been an honor.
I'm Kyle Long, and you're listening to Cultural Manifesto. My guest this week is Layla Hathaway. She'll be performing at Indie Jazz Fest on Saturday, October 1st. Let's listen to Layla's 2019 collaboration with Anderson .Paak. This is Reachin' Too Much.
That was Anderson .Paak
and Layla Hathaway with Reachin' Too Much. Layla will be performing at Indie Jazz Fest on Saturday, October 1st. It's an understatement to say that Layla was born into a musical family. Her father is the soul music icon Donny Hathaway, and her mother, Eulalia Hathaway, was also a successful performer and vocalist. I asked Layla how the influence of her parents shapes her work. Finally, Layla, and I don't bring this up lightly, you know, I lost a parent before their time, and I know talking about this stuff, there's always a raw nerve no matter how much time has passed or how many times you talk about it. You've been touring with your legacy project, performing orchestrated versions of your father, Donny Hathaway's music, and I wanted to ask you about that. But first, I wanted to ask if you would talk at all about your mother's career in music. You know, she played on some important records from Leroy Hudson and Young Holt Unlimited. I'm curious how big an influence your mom's music making has been on your life.
Huge. And it's so funny. And thank you for asking all of that stuff, because sometimes people are just so callous, but, you know, they forget that I'm like, I'm a fan like everyone, and I'm a student like everyone, but I'm also his child. So I appreciate that. My mom has been a huge influence on me. And I think that my mom was probably a huge influence on my dad as well. And it's funny, I think my dad gets probably 100% credit for my musical DNA, but my whole family is musical, you know, my aunts and uncles and everyone. And so, you know, my mom has been here with me in this lifetime, making sure I enunciate and making sure that, you know, the pitch is right. And she's a big part of my musical legacy. And when I'm out there, I'm repping for my mother and my father always. Hmm.
And, you know, there was a great New York Times piece recently published kind of looking into your relationship with your father's music, but tell us about this tour, the Legacy Project you're currently touring with, and kind of what inspired you to interpret your father's music in this way.
You know, it was always a dream of mine at some point to do the music. I didn't want to start off doing it. I'm kind of in my 32nd year of making records right now, which is so crazy. But what really pushed it was my friend Vince Mendoza, who is, you know, one of my favorite people and really one of the most talented arrangers and composers and maestros that I know, asked me to come and do a project like this. And they would have student arrangers and he would arrange some. I think it was just the right way to ease into really playing my father's music kind of exclusively. And the thought of doing it as an orchestral show, really lushing out these songs and really these beautiful arrangements. And it is hard to keep from floating away when you are standing in, you know, near a harp at all. But to sing these magnificent songs with these beautiful arrangements, really, really some of the best shows that I've had in the last couple of years. I'm headed, you know, to Australia soon to do them. I'm hoping to bring them to the States at some point really soon. I think it's a show that people that are fans of either or both me and my dad are really going to enjoy. And I think we took a really great part of his catalog and orchestrated it. And it's really a beautiful show.
Let's pause and listen to a 2014 recording of Layla Hathaway performing one of her father's classic songs. This is Little Ghetto Boy.
Little ghetto boy, playing in the ghetto street. What you gonna do when you grow up and have to face responsibility? Will you spend your days and nights in a pool room? Will you sell caps of madness in the neighborhood, little ghetto boy? You already know how rough life can be. little ghetto boy. Your daddy was blown away. He robbed that grocery store. Don't you know that was a sad, sad old day? All your young life you've seen such a misery and pain. World is a cruel place to live and it ain't gonna change. You're so young, you got so far to go. And I don't think you're rich, you go, young man, hanging around the pool room door. Look out, y'all.
That was Layla Hathaway with Little Ghetto Boy. Layla will be performing at Indie Jazz Fest on Saturday, October 1st. Let's return to my conversation with Layla Hathaway. Layla, I can't thank you enough for taking time to talk with me today. Any final words you want to give our listeners here in Indianapolis, or anything you want to let us know about your upcoming show at Indie Jazz Fest?
Oh, no, I'm so excited to get back to that part of the country. As you know, I'm from Chicago, which is, you know, just up the road. And so I'm really looking forward to it. I hope everyone will come out and look for, I have a single coming out later this month with a friend of mine who's named Juan Winans, and the single is called Now. But then I have another single coming out that's just my single that's going to usher in this next section of music that I'm doing, and I'm really excited about it. I can't really talk about it totally yet, but I'm so excited about it and just hope everyone will be on the lookout for me.
Yeah, I look forward to your next album and look forward to seeing you here in Indianapolis. And again, thank you so much for taking time to speak with us. It's a huge honor and privilege to have you on the show.
Thank you so much. Be well.
Cultural Manifesto will return with more music from Indie Jazz Fest after this short break. I'm Kyle Long, and you're listening to Cultural Manifesto. On this week's show, we're previewing Indie Jazz Fest. It's happening this weekend at the McAllister Amphitheater in Garfield Park. This year's festival features performances by Robert Glasper, Layla Hathaway, Tank and the Bangas, Terry Lynn Carrington, Ghost Note, the Rebirth Brass Band, and many others. We just listened to my recent interview with Layla Hathaway. And for the remainder of this week's show, we'll look back at my 2019 conversation with Tank and the Bangas. But first, let's hear some music from the group. This is Tank and the Bangas with Black Folk.
Hello. I love black folk. Black look like a revolution. Look like a family reunion in the park. Black look like it's a different world. Sound like a crawfish ball in New Orleans. Black folk joke around like Martin and got paintings from JJ in the living room. It sounds strong. Look like sacrifice. It'd be flowers blooming in the summertime. Black sound like old songs. Smell like good food. And it tastes like heart disease. But it feel like maize at Jazz Fest. Black sound like something that hurt, like a hard test. Black sound like skin, like something dark. It look like hair, yeah. Black sound like rough hair and good hair. Look like history, sound spiritual. Black sound like years, like working, like night. Black sound like money. Look like Walmart. Like corner stores, like cash register singing. Black sound like 400 years. Smell like Oprah. Impactful like Martin. Look like Cicely Tyson. Sing like Nina. Got a tag like Serena. Feel like broken homes in Section 8. Black smell like crack and collard greens. Sounds motivational. Feels like church. Look like big Sunday hats and ribbons.
Smile like your mama. Eyes like the sun. Beautiful child. Oh, you're the one. Fly like your daddy. Make me so happy. Beautiful child. Oh, you're the one.
Sound like thick black swinging and sneaky uncles. Look like Tyler Perry making money. Sound like hating, feel frustrated, don't it? Like they don't get it. Like they won't ever get it, huh? Like push your personal feelings of racial injustice so far underneath the carpet that you trip over your own family history. But I love me some black folk. I love the hair grease and the rental fees. The front row seats, the police, the projects, the mustard greens, being late, social security checks, government assistance, bougie black looking good, bags of hair, fake press on nails, rat tail comb, stunning gold chain, gold teeth, black men and big feet. I love me some black folk. For they are the people that were made from the darkest parts of the sky.
Smile like your mama, eyes like the sun. Beautiful child, oh, you're the one. Fly like your daddy, make me so happy. Beautiful child. Beautiful child, oh, you're the one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Black, don't crack. I love your skin. I don't see that from other kin. Yesterday, any day, I see me and my doing different things. Pushing boundaries. West Coast, East Coast, overseas.
What you think I came to L.A. for?
Everybody from the 504, what you think I came to L.A. for?
That was Tank and the Bangas with Black Folk. Tank and the Bangas will be performing at Indie Jazz Fest on Saturday, October 1st. I spoke with the group in 2019 after their performance for WFYI's Small Studio Sessions. Tank and the Bangas were formed in New Orleans, but the group's leader, Tariana Tank Ball, lived in Indianapolis during the early 2000s as her family sought refuge in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. Let's join my conversation with Tank and the Bangas.
I'm Tariana Tank Ball of Tank and the Bangas.
I am Norman Spence of Tank and the Bangas.
Hey, how you doing? I'm Josh. I'm with Tank and the Bangas too. Thank you all for being here. That was an incredible performance, and it's an honor to meet you all.
Thank you.
Obviously, public radio has been a big part of your story. You won the NPR Tiny Desk Contest. You're here with us today at Public Radio. Can you talk a little bit about the importance of public radio in introducing your music to a larger audience?
I think that it changed our lives, for sure. We were always doing this. But everyone said that we just needed the right platform so that people could see what we do. And that's what NPR did for us. We didn't know that it would be so huge for us, but it really changed the direction of our lives and in the best possible way. Yeah, it's
important. Absolutely. And then, like, about the public radio part, man, like, NPR specifically is like the underground central. I found out about so many new artists through Tiny Desk, or even saw a new side of so many artists. Oh my goodness!
Oh yeah, because you get to strip it on down and just listen to nothing but what they do,
and you get to see how they really feel about their music, how creative and how they can really make it change into something else, man. The fun part was us actually stripping down this huge band into this small acoustic thing that we did over there. It was like a whole nother vibe, man.
It really was. Cool. Yeah. That was the laid back us for everybody that don't know.
Everybody goes and sees that.
Like, laid back, really?
And then they come and see it and they're like, oh my God. And I'm like, yeah, it's cool, right? No? No?
You liked it?
Yes. No?
Yes?
You're weird.
Well, guess what? You too.
You're weird, too.
Yeah, I think that's why we're all sitting together right now. Oh. They're laughing at us. They got cameras pointed at us because we're weird.
And you all come from one of the most beautiful and culturally rich places in the world, New Orleans, Louisiana. You just said... You from Baltimore? Okay.
Yeah. But it's
culturely
cares.
Rich, and the talent up there is ridiculous. And shout
nobody
out to BMO.
But
as far as the culture goes, New Orleans got a lot.
Ask him how long he been in New Orleans.
How long have you been in New Orleans?
10 years.
Exactly.
I know I ain't moving back.
See what I'm saying?
I'm not moving back.
So why he throws that out all the time?
Because I have to.
Yeah.
I love you, Baltimore.
He love it. Hey, that's his stomping grounds. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Hometown.
But never forget who shaped you.
Baltimore.
Baltimore may have made you, but New Orleans shaped you. You heard me. Take don't get high.
No more.
I'm sorry, that is a song from our upcoming album, Green Balloon.
Which is
dropping
available
May 3rd.
Shameless plug.
Totally shameless.
Tank, you just performed this beautiful piece of poetry that captures the essence of this city in a profound and extraordinary way. Tell me what this city has given to you as musicians, New Orleans.
Wow, what has given to you? It gave you originality. Freedom, creativity,
spirit and drive,
art, spirit, performance, you know, soul.
A lot of the work we do at this station and radio and television is telling the story and the history of the city of Indianapolis. And Tank, you have a unique connection to this city, and this city formed you in a way from what I've read and heard in interviews. Do you want to talk about your connection to Indianapolis and how you happened to come here first?
Well, people would think that, oh, you must have just started driving and never stopped. You know, like, who comes from New Orleans to Indianapolis? Actually, my family did. My Aunt Gloria came out here and my cousin Alexia, and they told us, you know, while we were going through, you know, basically escaping the storm, come up here. You know, we have housing for you and people that will treat you real kind. And we drove all the way up here with our grandparents and our family, and that's exactly what we got. We lived in a space where... you know, they had a fully furnished apartment for all of us. And then there was this room that you go to at night where they're just full of clothes that people from Indianapolis just donated to us. And me and my sister would go there every night and just surf through all the clothes looking for clothes to wear because we obviously didn't have any. And I just met beautiful people. It reminded me. I was like, I need friends. I don't have any. So I need to put my personality right here because I need friends. And that's how I met so many people. They were at the show like last night. So just as much as they had an impact on me, I must have had something on them because, man, that was just the best year of my life because I was able to meet so many people. You know, I mean, who wants to be separated from their home their senior year? But I needed it. Because without Indianapolis, I wouldn't be the artist I am. Because although New Orleans will open you up to all these things, in the public schools, you still feel like you want to blend in as much as you can just so someone won't pick on you. I didn't feel that here. I felt cool to be myself.
You graduated from Pike High School, right?
I did. Yeah. Core 40 years. Yes. In a big old class. You don't know nothing. Shut up.
Were you making music during your time in Indianapolis?
I was more poems.
Poems?
Because I was going through so much inside. I wrote a lot because, you know, I was so sad. I used to cry so much. You know. Shut up, you don't know anything.
She still cries, y'all. She still cries.
I didn't know your grandparents went up there with y'all.
Thank God, man. Come on, I can't go nowhere without my mama and papa. My grandmother died here, too. Mm. And my grandfather.
Where'd you stay at, if you don't mind me asking? What part of town?
Oh, my God.
The apartment buildings.
I know I stayed. The crazy part is I can't even much think about it that much. I think it was Circle something. Because it was so long ago. Circle Center, Cypress, something. Mm. But I know I was close to Pike High School. That's crazy.
It wasn't Cover Bridge apartments.
It was Cover
it?
Bridge. Yeah. How you know? Yeah. What the hell going on with you?
You're looking right now.
How do you know that?
I'm in your old room. No, that's where a lot of people were
Cover
placed
Bridge.
When they came up here
I know it started with a C.
Yeah.
Wow. Shout out to Cover Bridge.
Because they covered you.
They was a bridge over
right
Trouble
now, that was a blessed word you just did. They covered my entire family.
And right now, this idea of the fate of displaced people is a huge political football, right? We hear about people who've been displaced by economics, war, environmental disaster, being turned into villains and blocked and banned and building walls, et cetera. What did going through that experience of being displaced from your home, how did that kind of shape you, and how do you view these issues now, having experienced that to some degree in your own life?
Just that, you know, when people are escaping from home, they called us refugees a lot, and we weren't. We were literally, you know, people that was running to safety, but we were, you know, obviously Americans, and they try to separate that. But what's always first is that people should remember before American, before refugee, before evacuee is human, person first. And that way you can take care of everyone and love them and treat them with the same care that you would, you know, someone that is supposedly American. You treat them human first. And that way we all can come together and take care of each other like we're supposed to when we are displaced.
I'm Kyle Long, and you're listening to Cultural Manifesto. We're listening back to my 2019 conversation with Tank and the Bangas. Let's pause and listen to a track from the group's latest album, Red Balloon. This is Tank and the Bangas with Oak Tree.
You my oak tree, you my misbelief, you my collard green, you the song I sing, you the front porch, you like a green lawn, you a sweet hello from my first love. I wake up early in the morning, hot from global warming, where she's the heat is stink like thinking summer, colors so reckless, my compass, my ellis, got a vulgar disposition, so listen, this shit be hitting, it's ain't nothing, what's up, make sure you eat your fruit, fruit and your vegetables, you freaking cannibal. Be people too. Conversations blue like water, contaminated by slaughter of the mortals. Go, go, watch your sister and your baby brother. They are coming out the gutter, slick, they slick like yellow butter. That is, go with a good massage your temple, grab your nuzzle. It's about to get fuzzy. Your conscious will come up with something to protect them from these buffaloes. It's time for summer. You my oak tree, you my misbelief, you my collard green, you the song I sing, you the front porch, you like a green lawn, you a sweet hello. From my first love, you my oak tree, you my misbelief, you my collard green, you the song I sing, you the front porch, you like a green lawn, you a sweet hello from my. I'm on my mind, I'm in my mind, see the signs of a better time. Ah, this that special vibe for the current. This that lessons back was as I try to learn them. Yeah. You my oak tree, you my misbelief, collard green. You the song I sing. You the front porch. You like a green lawn. You a sweet hello from my first love. You my oak tree. You my misbelief. You my collard green. You the song I sing. You the front porch. You like a green lawn. You a sweet hello from my first love.
Everybody wanna know what God tastes like. Everybody wanna know what God looks like. Everybody wanna know if heaven's nice. Everybody wanna know what heaven's like. Everybody wanna know what God tastes like. Everybody wanna know what God looks like.
That was Tank and the Bangas with Oak Tree. Tank and the Bangas will be performing at Indie Jazz Fest on Saturday, October 1st. And we're listening back to my 2019 conversation with the group. Let's return to our conversation.
And before y'all go, Tank, I want to ask about your lyrics, right? Your incredible lyrics. You have this knack for taking these kind of simple universal themes from pop culture, the Brady Bunch, shopping at Walmart, and weaving these poetic tales that are intimate and complex. I'm curious if that's like a formula. You kind of like look for things to kind of that everyone can kind of relate to, and you expand it, or is this just all inspiration?
Tank is crazy.
She
really
does not look. We're gonna answer this for you.
Tank is crazy.
We're gonna answer this one.
I'm gonna see what y'all say, but I'll answer myself.
She about to tell us the very, very philosophical.
She's trying
answer,
to be deep,
but the truth
but the real is Tank been talking to herself her whole
head,
life.
Yo, that
she
comes
has
out.
So many personalities.
Exactly.
There, look, it's not out of hand. She doesn't. She's not medicated.
She's but, not on medication,
I'm not saying
yo. Nothing.
She should be because it's working for us.
Yo, the truth but, is that stuff comes out of nowhere. The place that she, I'm going to tell you this. There's a song, a poem on Think Tank that's called Hands. Is one of the most beautiful poems I heard. When she did it, it was like, wow, where'd that come from? I was sitting down, and then I just started paying attention to people's hands. And
people
I was like, what?
Hands.
Where'd that come from? But you're weird enough to sit down and watch people hold hands for hours.
Riverwalk.
Riverwalk.
And sit there and watch people hold hands for hours. That's not regular. It's kind of creepy, just a little weird. But the place that came from in such a pure and honest and, you know what I'm saying, innocent place, it was like you found these words to say. And it's like, yo, you didn't practice. Like, that's not on purpose. That's God.
Straight up. Go listen to Hands. The perspective on it is crazy. She shows, like, four or five different dynamics. Probably three or four.
Couples.
Four or five. Yeah, but it's couples. And it's they walking together, and it's hot. You see it. She paid attention to that. She read their whole relationship based on how they held her hands.
And this is how you view their relationships. This is how you view relationships. This is how you view interactions with people. This is how you view couples. This is how you view humans. You know what I'm saying? And to me, it was like it's something very unique. Like, you don't see that nowhere. People could put poems together. People know A plus B equals C all day. But this is a whole nother kind of formula, man. This is a whole nother thing.
Yeah, she's a weird one.
Now, so, what do you really think?
Oh, my. First of all, I mean, I don't even know what else to say after they
exactly,
didn't say all that.
Because I knew
but,
it was right.
But I will say it is part just regular, I found that interesting myself personally. I'm going to write about that. And the other half is I would love to talk about something that everybody does. To me, a lot of people go to Walmart. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's pretty universal to me. And everyone has seen an ant before, you know, and taking something so small and regular in the world and expounding on it and making like it cool.
Boxes. That's crazy.
You've already said that before.
She basically says, I could have been everything that's good for you in food. You know, everything food-wise that's good for you, I could have been all of this. First of all, how you going to be soup? How you could have been meat and vegetables and greens?
You ain't hungry?
You said, dang, you...
These guys are crazy. This is why I'm crazy.
Okay, so
they weird.
I'm crazy, but she meat... peas, greens, and vegetables
for a guy. We're crazy. But she came up with all those lyrics. So who's the craziest?
If y'all heard some of the voice recordings we got.
They the craziest. They the weird ones. They chill with me.
If some of the voice recordings we got for creativity, you know, to work with, she like, she sent us a voice recording. And I'm like, wait. So we got to put it in a key. And then we got it, because it's coming out of our brain so fast, she ain't even like, she just trying to pump it out.
The last song we did, the Brady's joint, nah. Hey, go listen to that on Think Tank and see what it sounded
whole nother
like.
Thing. Whole
that nother was
thing.
That song, you know, for Brady's.
It
but,
is definitely a whole
But just
change.
To conduce it all literally is part inspiration, part, you know, purposefully looking for something that is a part of everyday life.
Thank you all for being here. It was a pleasure and honor to meet you and hear you play. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much, man. Thank you.
Where are you from?
Here.
You are? Indy.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, I feel like I just heard like a little accent inside of you right quick. Indeed. Maybe it's on the tiny disc.
We've been listening back to my 2019 conversation with Tank and the Bangas. Tank and the Bangas will be performing at Indie Jazz Fest on Saturday, October 1st. You can see the full festival lineup online at indiejazzfest.net. Let's end this week's show with another track from Tank and the Bangas. Off their latest album, Red Balloon, this is Stolen Fruit. I'm Kyle Long, and you've been listening to Cultural Manifesto.
Good morning, sunshine. Planted somewhere. Time cannot rewind the place from which you grew. Stone.